This week from GNC Week in Review, powered by geeknewscentral.com. Capital One customers were affected by a data breach. 3 million of patient records were breached. Verizon comes out with new unlimited data plans, plus UC Santa Barbara sues. Those are some of the tech news stories from this week. And it's Saturday, August 3rd, 2019. My name is Kirk Corliss, and it's episode 32 of the GNC Week in Review podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Thank you so much for tuning in for this week's episode. If you are a new listener, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast where you can find on the right-hand side column at gncweekly.com, be it Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, your favorite podcast app for Android, or on TuneIn, Spotify, and Stitcher. You have a comment, suggestion, want to say hi, be it on social media or email, and that all can be found at gncweekly.com/connect. We're going to jump in with the tech news from this week and from geeknewscentral.com. And leading off, if you have an account with Capital One, it seems you might need to start paying very close attention to your bank and its activities. This is because the bank has recently disclosed a massive data breach that took place earlier this year, where the person behind the attack managed to exploit a configuration vulnerability that allowed them to not only access but also decrypt customer data. According to Capital One, quote, Capital One immediately fixed the configuration vulnerability that this individual exploited and promptly began working with federal law enforcement. The FBI has arrested the person responsible, and that person is in custody. Based on our analysis to date, we believe it is unlikely that the information was used for fraud or disseminated by this individual. However, we will continue to investigate. The bank also goes on to reassure its customers that despite the fact that customer data was accessed, more sensitive information such as credit card account numbers or login credentials were compromised. More than 32 million patient records were breached between January and June 2019. That's more than double the more than 15 million records breached in all of 2018. This is from healthcare analytics firms Protenius. According to the company, the number of disclosed incidents rose to 285 in the first half of the year. The Protenius 2019 mid-year breach barometer report found that 60% of all breaches were due to hacking, and there was in one incident, hackers targeted a medical collections agency and obtained the data of roughly 20 million patients, including those who use LabCorp and Quest Diagnostics. Their data was found on the dark web. Verizon had previously had 3 unlimited plans. Well, on Tuesday, Verizon has replaced them with 4 unlimited plans. The first is the new, quote, Get More Unlimited plan, which starts at $90 per month for a single line with auto pay enabled and not including taxes and fees, a caveat that applies to all 4 plans. It's essentially the company's old $95 per month above limited plan, just a $5 cheaper and with 30 gigabytes of LTE hotspot data before you get throttled instead of 20 gigabytes. Other differences include the fact that the Get More includes a discount on tablet data, which Above did not, but that comes at the expense of losing the free travel passes that Above used to offer. There's also 75 gig of LTE data, 720 video streaming, free Apple Music, and the various cloud storage and connected device discounts are all the same as the old plan. There's also the entry-level plan Start Limited. It is also virtually identical to the Go Unlimited plan it replaces. Like Get More Unlimited, there is a $5 price cut, so it starts at $70 for one line. The 2-line, 3-line, 4-line, and 5-plus line prices also drop by $5, but there's also the drawbacks where Verizon can slow your data anytime if the network is ingested. There's no guaranteed pool of high-speed data like the other unlimited plans. Video streaming is limited to DVD quality or 480p, and unlike the old Go Unlimited plan, which offered extremely slow tethering. There's also no hotspot option at all with Start. They also included Apple Music subscription. It's just a 6-month trial. Also, there's Do More Unlimited, which offers 50 gigabytes of LTE data before congestion, 500 gigabytes of cloud storage, and a discount on a connected tablet or a hotspot. but it downgrades video streaming to 480p only and only has 6 months of Apple Music. And then there is the Play More Unlimited plan, which costs the same $80 for a single line, and it more closely resembles the old Beyond Unlimited plan, 25 gigabytes of LTE before congestion, 720p streaming, and free Apple Music. Both plans still include the 15 gigabytes of LTD hotspot data, as well as free 5G for an unknown limited time, at which point it'll cost $10 per month for customers who want to keep the fast data speeds. This week, UC Santa Barbara filed a lawsuit charging Amazon, IKEA, Walmart, Target, and Bed Bath & Beyond with infringing its patents, according to Nixon Peabody, the law firm representing UC Santa Barbara. This is the, quote, first of its kind direct patent enforcement campaign against an entire industry. The dispute centers around filament LED light bulbs, sometimes called, quote, Edison or, quote, vintage LED bulbs, because they resemble Edison's iconic class bulbs with growing filaments. Like other LEDs, these use 90% less energy than typical incandescents and last years longer. The filament LED technology invented at UC Santa Barbara has become so popular that the five retailers sell the bulbs in mass quantities. According to UC Santa Barbara, it tried to warn the retailers of the infringement and established licenses with them, but the university efforts have, quote, have not been sufficient to address the ubiquitous and explosive infringement in this industry. The university is now seeking undisclosed damages and licensing agreements with each retailer. It also requested that the U.S. International Trade Commission, or ITC, launched an investigation into the unauthorized importation of these Edison LEDs and potentially issue cease and desist orders to prevent retailers from selling the LEDs without permission. A federal judge dismissed Democrats' lawsuit against Russia, WikiLeaks, and the Trump campaign on Tuesday, saying that Russia was the main culprit and cannot be sued under federal law. The Democratic National Committee filed a lawsuit last year, claiming that those three parties and others related to them, they had violated hacking and racketeering laws in connection with the 2016 breach of the DNC's computer systems and the subsequent release of the organization's private emails. Russia cannot be sued because of the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, which largely prevents lawsuits against foreign governments. Judge John Cotillo, a Clinton employee in the Southern District of New York, writes, the remedies for hostile actions by foreign governments are state actions. At the same time, WikiLeaks and the Trump campaign can't be held liable for the dissemination of the stolen materials because of First Amendment protections, the judge ruled, referencing the Supreme Court case that upheld the publishing of the Pentagon Papers. The judge wrote that, quote, the First Amendment prevents such liability in the same way it would preclude liability for press outlets that published illegal obtained materials. While the DNC also alleged that WikiLeaks and other parties played a role in the hacking of its email accounts, Kotel wrote that the organization, quote, failed to allege plausibly, that anyone else was a participant, leading those claims to be dismissed. The DNC did not immediately respond to a request for comment by The Verge. The Trump campaign seized on the ruling as a win for the president against allegations of collusion, calling it a huge victory in court in a statement. Google is talking about two of the main features that the Pixel 4 will bring. The company has confirmed that the upcoming flagship features a motion sensor radar, which powers a feature called Motion Sense. The Pixel 4 is also coming, is also going to come with Face Unlock, but it will be a more advanced version compared to its functionality offered by a lot of Android smartphones today. Google's advanced technology and projects team have been working on projects solely for the past 5 years. It's a miniature version of motion sensing radar. This will be located at the top of the Pixel 4 to sense small motions around the phone. This radar will enable motion sense features on the device, allowing users to skip songs, snooze alarms, silence phone calls, and more by simply making gestures around the phone. These capabilities will improve over time. Google does point out that the motion sense will be available in, quote, select Pixel countries. Face Unlock on the Pixel 4 isn't just going to use a selfie camera like it does on other Android smartphones. As users reach for the device, Soli will proactively enable the Face Unlock sensors, and if they recognize the user, it will instantly be unlocked. Google says this will work in almost any orientation if the phone is being held upside down. In the 3 months that Spotify crested the 100 million, the 100 premium user mark, the company has added another 8 million paying customers in its second quarter. In its second quarter earnings, Spotify said that its overall membership grew from 217 million last quarter to 232 million now. Spotify says that the growth in both free and paying customers is down to a number of initiatives, including, quote, long-term retention of users. In addition, new products like the stripped-down Spotify Lite, designed for countries where data is at a premium, launched in 36 territories during the quarter. Spotify Stations, its Pandora-like experience, is also being tested in the U.S., and other experiences are apparently forthcoming. The Swedish company pulled in $1.8 billion in revenue, of which $1.6 billion was premium subs, and with the other $200 million coming from advertising. The company's net loss this quarter was $84.7 million, close to half the loss it made in the previous period. Spotify expects to see user numbers up to $245 million by the end. Spotify expects to see user numbers hit up to 245 million by the end of next quarter and 265 million by the end of the year. And by the end of Q4, the company is hoping to have 125 million paying customers. Amazon Prime is trying its hand at fashion again with the launch on Wednesday of Personal Shopper by Prime Wardrobe in the iOS and Android app. The women's styling service sends user handpicked items and accessories based on their style profile. Amazon says it hopes to expand to menswear soon. Personal Shopper is available only to U.S. Amazon Prime users, but it works if you have a 30-day trial membership, the Student Prime membership, or the 6-month trial membership. Stylist-based brand and selection on your style, fit, and budget. And this is according to Amazon's Prime Wardrobe page. Customers get to preview their personalized picks and then select up to 8 items which they want to ship. You'll get a week at home try-on period and resealable packaging for free returns. Personal Shopper costs $4.99 per month, plus your Prime subscription. Sizes include 0 to 24 and extra small to extra extra large and 3X, as well as women's shoes in sizes 5 to 12. Samsung has officially announced the new Galaxy Tab S6, a high-end Android tablet that's designed for both productivity work and entertainment needs. The Tab S6 supports pen input, a stylus included in the box, and it can be attached to an optional keyboard case. It'll be available on September 6th for $649, which gets you 120 gigabytes of storage and 6 gigabytes of RAM. A version with 256 gigabytes of storage and 8 gigs of RAM will cost $729. Samsung says an LTE version of the Tab S6 will be available later this year. It has a 16 by 10 10.5 inch OLED screen, similar to the outgoing Tab S4, but Samsung has trimmed the bezels of Tab to make it the overall footprint smaller. It also traded the facial recognition login system for an in-screen optical fingerprint scanner. Samsung has also trimmed the overall thickness and weight of the tablet down to 5.7 millimeters thick and 420 grams, which is just under 15 ounces. There are four speakers along the edges, two on each side when the tablet is held in landscape. Inside, the Tab S6 has a Snapdragon 855 processor and a 7040 milliamp battery. Then the company says good for up to 15 hours of use. Around back, the Tab S6 has a dual camera system with a standard lens and a 123-degree wide-angle lens. The back is also home to the most interesting part of the tablet, a magnetic strip that includes the S Pen stylus attached to the tablet. Like the iPad Pro and the Apple Pencil, the S6 can charge the pen when it's attached and even has a similar on-screen charging notification when you attach it. The S Pen stylus has similar remote control features as the S Pen that comes with the Galaxy Note 9 smartphone, including the ability to advance PowerPoint slides or trigger the camera shutter remotely. There are also new gestures for scrolling through media and other functions while holding the pen. Samsung has redesigned the keyboard attachment to include a small trackpad. The keyboard, which can be purchased for additional $179, connects to the tablet through a set of pogo pins on the left side of the Tab S6. It can be detached separately from it. It can be detached separately from its back cover, which also acts as a kickstand to prop the tablet up. For software, the Tab S6 runs Android 9 Pie with version 1.5 of Samsung's One UI interface. It also has the support for Samsung's DeX interface, which provides a more desktop-like experience when using the tablet with a keyboard. The new keyboard attachment has a function key to launch the DeX quickly. The DeX can also be outputted to an external display using the Tab's S6 USB Type-C port. There is a lot of streaming news this week, beginning with over on Ars Technica. One is being reported, the major broadcast network sued the makers of Locast, a nonprofit organization that provides free online access to broadcast TV stations. The lawsuit filed by ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC seeks financial damages and a permanent injunction that would shut Locast down. Broadcast TV networks are available for free over the air with antenna, but selling the rights to retransmit those signals in other ways is a big business. Broadcasters reportedly collected $10.1 billion in 2018 via retransmission fees that they charge cable and satellite TV companies. TV providers routinely pass these costs along to consumers in the form of, quote, broadcast TV fees. Pay TV providers use these fees to raise the actual cost of service above their advertised prices and to raise customers' prices even while they're under contract. TV subscribers can deal with blackouts by using an antenna or a service like Locast. While Locast is a nonprofit, the broadcasters argue that it's actually bankrolled by the satellite TV industry, DirecTV. Bankrolled by the satellite TV industry. DirecTV owner AT&T notably donated $500,000 to Locast, and Locast's founder has ties to Dish Network. Locast says it's on a mission to help TV viewers get easier access to channels that are supposed to be free, saying, quote, ever since the dawn of TV broadcasting in the mid-20th century, nonprofit organizations have provided, quote, translator TV stations as a public service, where a primary broadcaster cannot reach a receiver with a strong enough signal, the translator amplifies that signal with another transmitter, allowing consumers who otherwise cannot get the over-the-air signal to receive important programming, including local news, weather, and of course, sports. Locast.org provides the same public service, except excuse me, except instead of an over-the-air signal transmitter, we provide the local broadcast signal via online streaming. So far, Locast is available in 13 U.S. markets, Baltimore, Boston, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Houston, Philadelphia, Rapid City, South Dakota, Los Angeles, New York City, San Francisco, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Washington, D.C. Locast intends to expand to new markets, but solicits donations because it has, quote, considerable cost for equipment, bandwidth, and operational support. Locast can be used on mobile devices, streaming boxes, and web browsers. It detects your location and lets you choose from a selection of TV channels. The lawsuit filed by ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC says, quote, plaintiffs, including their affiliate companies, collectively invest billions of dollars to create, acquire, and provide valuable television programming. That programming is broadcast to the public for free over-the-air viewing, but the overwhelming majority of households have elected that convenience and reliability by viewing plaintiffs' copyrighted programming through services offered by cable, satellite, broadband, and mobile providers. By virtue of several acts of Congress, those providers must have a license to retransmit copyrighted television programming, notwithstanding that the programming is broadcast over the air by plaintiffs and their local affiliates, and must also secure the consent of the broadcasters to retransmit the broadcast signals. Even though the TV channels are available for free, Locast can't transmit them. The lawsuit says, quote, Locast captures over-the-air broadcast signals, strips critical data from those signals, and then retransmits those signals in the copyrighted content they carry to registered users over the internet. The catch is, unlike licensed cable, satellite, and streaming services, Locast neither obtains plaintiffs for permission nor pays for exploration of plaintiffs' exclusive rights to publicly perform their copyrighted content. Instead, Locast simply takes plaintiffs' copyrighted content and retransmits it to its registered users at will over the internet. The lawsuit also says, quote, these two for-profit businesses, AT&T and Dish, provide Locast with valuable nationwide distribution of Locast app on the internet-connected set-top boxes because of the subscribers. At the same time, Locast provides these two major distributors with commercial benefits that includes the ability to avoid obtaining retransmission from local stations to include local stations in their paid TV offerings by integrating the Locast app into their customer set-top boxes, B, to gain leverage in negotiations with broadcast stations over retransmission consent rights to offer their subscribers access to broadcast channels, and C, for Dish to promote a version of its Sling TV internet television service that does not carry local broadcast channels by telling potential customers that they can, quote, supplement Sling TV by getting the broadcast channels via Locast. Locast is not the non-commercial community public service it purports to be. It is a strategic play funded by and functioning for the benefit of decidedly commercial interests. AT&T released a statement saying, quote, that Locast offers consumers an innovative new way to access free over-the-air signals. We support technologies that give consumers many choices and better access to this local content. And there's more in the article, including, I believe, there's some more information from, all the information about this article in full, including Sling as well as comments. It's up in the show notes at gncweekly.com. PBS and PBS Kids
are coming to YouTube TV beginning sometime this year. PBS member stations who choose to participate will have their programming streamed on YouTube's TV's live TV and on-demand subscription service. The move will bring both educational and local TV to the platform, and it marks the first time PBS has partnered with a streaming service in this way. In the press release, PBS says this partnership is an important step toward expanding its digital footprint. PBS Chief Digital and Marketing Officer Ira Rubenstein says, quote, Our goal is to reach as many Americans as possible with content that educates, inspires, and entertains. As a broadcaster that is rooted in communities, we appreciate YouTube's commitment to local content, and we are pleased that the service provides audiences with access to programming that is produced and distributed by our member stations. Over on themakeuse.com, in the show notes, this is on from makeuseup.com, the best TV shows to watch on Crackle. There's Charlie's Angels, The Company, Marvel Anime, Iron Man, Snatch, Pan Am, News Radio, Dilbert, and there's a few more, and I'll have a link up in the show notes that you can check out on that. Also in the show notes on lifehacker.com, what's coming and going from HBO in August. There's a lot of titles here for movies, for example, Aquaman, The Mule. There's series premieres, including Succession, Our Boys. There's series finales like Euphoria and Divorce. There's original programming. Spanish content. There's also a lot of titles, of movie titles that are leaving in August, and I'll have a link up in the show notes you can check out on that. Also on Lifehacker, what's coming to Amazon Prime Video in August. There's a lot here as well. For example, Mission Impossible Fallout, The Lincoln Lawyer, Andy Irons, Kissed by Gold. There's an Amazon Prime original Photograph, and I'll have a link up in the show notes you can check out on that as well. Also in the show notes, there's a lot of tech tips this week. First up, a few tech tips for students going back to school. Over on Android Central, the best backpacks for students. On CNET.com, the best watch for back to school. There's also a link on the best gifts for gamers going back to school. Also in the show notes, there's some tips on privacy precautions for travel when using technology for vacations. Also in the show notes, this is from AndroidCentral.com, the best Bluetooth headphones that are under $50. I'll link up in the show notes on that. There's also from MakeUse.com, five faster Chrome extensions to speed up web browsing. There's faster Chrome, there's Web Boost, AMP Browser, and I will link up in the show notes on that. And also, and finally, leading up to the closing out the tech tips block, speaking of Verizon's new unlimited plans, over on Android Central, which unlimited plan should you buy in 2019? There's AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, or Verizon. They compare the data plans from all four carriers, so you can decide for yourself on what's right for you with AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, or T-Mobile. In the GNC WIR for what's trending this week, what's trending for this week over on Google Trends. Google Trends trended last week with 200,000 searches at number 4, National Tequila Day. On Twitter, trending today at number 3 with 33,900 tweets, hashtag gun control now. And lastly, on what's trending over on YouTube at number 3 with 606,744 views, and the video, Keith Eats Everything at Pizza Hut. And finally, I like to think that I need to change up my career. Take the case of a 6-year-old Korean YouTuber by the name of Boram, who has reportedly enough money to purchase a home worth a whopping $8 million. The home she bought is also said to be in the Gangnam suburb in Seoul, which is also to be one of the country's richest neighborhoods, and also it's the most happening. However, despite her financial success, the YouTuber has come under some controversy, or rather her parents have. There have been some complaints filed with the NGO Save the Children, in which some have expressed their concern that Boram's parents are profiting from their child, while also complaining about some of the content on her channel, which they feel could be a bad influence on other kids as well. And that is the tech news from this week for Saturday, August 3rd, 2019. Thank you so much for tuning in
for this week's episode. Show notes from this episode on the tech tips, also on what's coming and going from Amazon Prime Video and HBO. It all can be found at gncweekly.com. Also, to be sure to check out the latest tech news and commentary from geeknewscentral.com. Now, if you have a comment, thought, want to say hi, love to hear from you. Love to hear from you all, be it social media or email. Everything can be found on how to reach on Facebook and Twitter and Gmail. That's at gncweekly.com/connect. And I will be back next week for another episode of the GNC Week in Review podcast. Till then, I will talk to you all soon.